Prologue, 18th April 2004. "Gunman, top window!" screamed H. H was the first to spot him, from his position of height as top cover on the back of Daz's snatched Land Rover. As soon as I heard the call, my eyes darted to the gunman. The moment you hear a gun is trained on you, you scan for targets. And there he was, in the top window of the sinister three-story building inside a well-fortified compound. Unusually for buildings in Alamara, it had a fresh coat of white paint and bars across every window. As my eyes found him, he began to slide an AK-47 through the iron grille. The metal barrel glinted in the bright sunlight as the gunman moved slowly from side to side. He couldn't seem to decide which of the nine of us he wanted to aim at first. I was already walking backwards to my Land Rover, the other vehicle in the small patrol, which was parked up 50 metres further down the road. But Daz's vehicle was just 15 metres across the road from the compound's front gate. If the gunman was anything like a decent shot, we were all sitting ducks. He was in animated conversation with a couple of his other stooges, one older, one younger. All of them were bearded, dressed in black dish dashes and wore green canvas chest rigs. They seemed to be jabbering away. I could almost hear them weighing up the situation. Shall we or shan't we? Then the compound's heavy gates slammed shut with a loud metallic clunk. The four angry blokes with the same heavy Islamic beards who had been shouting at Daz and I had abruptly scrambled back inside. They're thinking what I'm thinking. This is going to kick off. I know it. It was only the first time we'd been this far away from base, but I'd done enough tours of Northern Ireland to realise what was going on here. The mood was changing very rapidly from bad to terrible. My brain scrambled to keep up with the pace of events. I'd already decided to get the fuck out of there and told the boys to mount up. Now it looked like we'd run out of time already. Immediately and involuntarily, my pace quickened as I continued to walk backwards. I wanted to turn around to look where I was going, but I didn't want to take my eyes off that clown in the top window. Fuck it. How did we get into this mess so quickly? I couldn't turn and run to the snatch, because that would mean we'd lose face in front of these nutters, whoever the hell they were. And the British Army doesn't do that. But I also knew it was no time to hang around. "Don't get excited, Danny boy. Keep the heart rate slow and concentrate. You're no good to anyone panicking like a big girl." "I've got eyes on," shouted Smudge. "Seen," said Ads, along with a couple of other blokes a second later. It had taken no more than 4 seconds for the three other top cover boys in the two snatches to focus their mini-me's on the top window. Good. At least the boys are all wide awake. Then again, it wouldn't have said much for my training if they weren't during a drama like this. The boys' reaction calmed me down a bit. Anyway, weapons aren't exactly uncommon in this desolate and forgotten corner of Iraq. Even grannies are known to walk the city's streets with AKs slung over their backs. None of this means we're going to go tits up. I'd got to within 10 metres of my snatch, and all we needed was a few more seconds to get into the Land Rovers and shove off home sharpish. No problem. That's when the grenade came hurtling over the compound wall. We all saw it at once. Half a dozen voices screamed, "Grenade!" simultaneously. Then everything went into slow motion. The grenade took an age to travel through its 20 metres of flight through the air. A dark, small, oval-shaped package of misery the size of a peach. On its upward trajectory, the handle sprang off, landing separately on the pavement with a light tinkle. Then, a small cracking sound. The handle's release allowed the hammer inside the grenade to spring down hard onto its percussion cap. That ignited the gunpowder fuse, which began to burn furiously, creating enough heat to ignite the high explosive charge. My second in command, Daz, was the last to see it. He had been standing behind his snatch with his back to the compound. As he turned round, the still-ticking grenade just cleared the Land Rover's roof and hit him square in the chest with a dull thud. Daz was left momentarily frozen to the spot, open-mouthed with shock. It bounced off his body armor's breastplate and down onto the pavement before slowly rolling into the road and right under the snatch itself. In a desperate scramble, everyone else instinctively threw themselves down and covered their faces. Another whole second of total silence. Then boom! A blinding flash of light. A pulsation of shockwave and deafening bang, all at once. Shrapnel flew in all directions. Hundreds of red-hot, tiny pieces of metal whizzed